Turning again to that portion of the Word that we read together in John chapter 18. John, Gospel of John chapter 18. And we read of the denial by Peter. First of all, we see in verse 17, "Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not." And then we have in verse 25, "They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not." And then we read further on, 26, "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Art not thou also one of his disciples? I would like to address this morning what it is to be a disciple and what goes along with being a disciple. And one of the areas particularly that I would wish to bring before you and yes to challenge you today is about witnessing that you are a disciple of the Lord. Witnessing, showing forth, showing to anyone and everyone that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is a disciple? Well, generally, and a dictionary will tell you that it is a disciple is a follower of the doctrines of a particular teacher. A follower of the doctrines or the teaching of a particular teacher. Now, when we generally speak about the disciple, a disciple, we generally think of the 12 who were chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ to be with him while he was in this world, who were all true followers, apart, of course, as we know, from Judas. But it's not only the dictionary that defines a disciple in a way it does, having a wider meaning than someone truly born again and companions of the Lord Jesus. But also, Scripture also speaks about some who were not obviously, they were called disciples, but they were not obviously true followers of the Lord. Some were. For example, we have a situation of like we had with John the Baptist. John the Baptist had disciples. But we also read about the Lord himself thinking about, remember when in John 6, when he brought before the people what was required in following him. And then we read there, many of his disciples, Christ's disciples, many of his disciples went back. The Pharisees also would claim in John 9 that they were the disciples of Moses. In other words, those taught by Moses, they followed the teaching of Moses. Now you can see there are different ways that disciples are spoken about in Scripture. And while we, as I said, and most of us would think immediately of the 12 with the Lord, it has a wider meaning than that. There is someone who is following a particular teacher. So if there's a teacher somewhere, well, there must therefore also be pupils to be taught, those who learn from the one that they are following. So then the word has a wider meaning than to do those who actually lived in the days of the Lord and followed him, the 12 who were true followers. It can be that some, that like the disciples, many of them went back, some who followed him for a time but didn't continue. And in not continuing, they showed they were not true disciples. But for a time, outwardly, they seemed to be followers. And so, friends, for ourselves today, if you are here today, and if you are following the Lord, if you are living and seeking to live by his teaching, then you can be regarded as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be in the days of the Bible. It applies all the way and will till the end of time. So as Christians, if we are Christians, we are disciples. We are disciples of the Lord. Here we see Peter has been asked that question here, which is a very, is it not in this text, a very relevant, art not thou also one of his disciples? Now, of course, we know that Peter was a true disciple, but there was a weakness in him that came out here. But the principle here, it applies to us all. And I would like to challenge us today. I would like to challenge you today about your own discipleship. I would like to ask you, what kind of disciple are you? Now, maybe that might make you feel uncomfortable. You might not like to be challenged in that way. You might even think, well, who is he to ask me these things? What about his own life? Indeed, my own life. But as the preacher here today, I believe, a duty to bring before you this challenge. Are you one of his disciples? And whether you like the challenge or not, as one old minister that I sat under and was blessed under many years used to say, whether you like it or not, if the cap fits, wear it. If the cap fits, wear it. So friends, I want to do that today, to just bring that before you. And first of all, we can ask the question, why was Peter asked this? And then, why would you be asked this? Well, regarding Peter here, well, first of all, it was because he was seen and had been seen and identified with those who were in the company of the Lord at times. I think that surely comes across, not for anything that he had said. It wasn't that they challenged him here about maybe some teaching that Peter was giving. But it was obviously that they had known about him. Did not I see thee in the garden? Art thou not also one of his disciples? In other words, he was challenged on this because of where he was seen and the company that he particularly kept. Now, three times, as we know, three different occasions, three different people ask him. And so there was obviously reasonably good grounds for asking that question of him at this time, because he was seen and they thought they had seen him, and they were pretty sure that they had seen him with those who were followers of the Lord. So, for yourself today, if you were challenged today with this question, how would you answer? Art thou one of his disciples? How would you answer that? If someone asked you, or maybe a number of people asked you, why would they do so, first of all? On what basis would someone ask you that question? What would be the foundation for that? Why would they ask you that question today? Well, they may well have good reason to ask you that. Maybe it's because of their observation of you, because of their observation of you being found with those who come to church. Maybe those who are found with known Christians elsewhere. Maybe those who are often seen and known about always frequenting the house of God, being with other those who are known as Christians. Maybe it's because also, not just because you are known in that way. Maybe people saw you coming into this church today, those passing by. And they would say, well, they must be Christians. Or maybe they would ask you when you went outside afterwards, are you a Christian? Based on what they saw of you just coming into the gathering inside a church. But also, those who know you may be better, that they might be think about those you are with and those and what you say with those who you are with. Or even amongst themselves, that your talk is different. Maybe it's about what they hear from you, the language that you use, what would be maybe regarded in some way or other as the conversation of a follower of Jesus. Can that be true of yourself? Do people identify you as a disciple in that way, as a believer, as a follower of the Lord, by your witness, not only in where you are seen, but also, friends, in what you are saying and how you are living? Now, maybe you use the name of Christ in a different way than you used to. You speak about, maybe about, here people have been speaking about heaven and about hell and about sin and about the death of Christ. Maybe in a way that you never did before. So your conversation has changed. Is that a reason why people ask you if you're a Christian? Can it be said, if you remember elsewhere, it is said of Peter, thy speech betrayeth thee. How you speak, Peter says something about you. It was to do with where he came from, but in a spiritual sense, can that be said of yourself? Your speech, the way you talk, it betrays you as to what you are. Now we know, friends, that can be, when you look at that in other ways, how often, sadly for many, that their speech tells that they are not Christians. It is very clear by how they use language and the language they use. But what about yourself here this morning? Does your speech tell others what you say, what you speak about? I often wonder, and this is not just here, but when we come out of church here, and particularly here, may I say, as we are on the pavement outside there and people are passing by and having to squeeze past us, what do they hear? Do they hear you speaking about just things in general that they speak about? Or do they hear you speaking about the Lord? Do they hear you witnessing about the things of God? Or is it just what you did last week and your work and your home and all the rest of it? Is our conversation, friends, would others notice not just that we have come out of a building that is obviously a church, but are we talking about the things of God? Are we witnessing that way? Does our speech betray us in that way? Can people genuinely then say, are you one of Jesus' disciples? Are you a Christian friend? Are you one of his? Sadly, some of us remember people asking us some of these questions at one time and not very good at answering the question. But not only, friends, then will people surmise rightly or wrongly regarding your lifestyle as where you are now often found and seen, but about your conversation. Oh, the importance of what we say and do not say. That will tell much about you. And not only that, but also where you are now found, where and you are not found, the places you go. Is that a witness as well, is it not, surely at times? Maybe you're no longer found in places you once frequented. Places where you know very well that a believer should never be. And people are maybe beginning to notice that as well. That can be a witness as well. And of course, the company you keep is not what it once was. Things have changed in that way as well. There are so many different ways, friends. Not that we can't still be friends with those in the world, and we have to keep up some friendship with those around us who are not Christian, some relationship. We need to do that to some extent. But really, There is this difference, though, that while that is so, even they will know that you are different in how you act and what you say. My friend, am I describing you here today? Is this challenging yourself about your own situation? Is this something that maybe you feel that you are not what you ought to be? I know, well, you see, I'm a churchgoer. I am professing to be a Christian. But then, you don't like to talk about being a Christian. Are you saying with Peter, despite all that you now feel, all that you now know, all that is in your life now, are you saying, I am not? Are you denying it? Well, you say, I'm not denying it. I'm coming to church and all the rest of it. But my friend, that is not necessarily the same, is it, as being a true disciple. All should come to church. All should come to hear the gospel. But there has to be a difference, and there is a difference. What's the problem? See, here with Peter, it wasn't that Peter was not a true disciple, but there was a weakness in him at this time, and he denied the Lord. Can you identify with that? Maybe you're saying, I have no doubt I'm a Christian, but not a very good witness. Surely, well, Peter, and he was forgiven. Oh, yes, indeed. But it's still not a good witness. And you keeping silent, friends, sometimes is not a good witness. We have to speak up. Think about it. Where would the church be if every Christian in the world, a person, and the Lord comes into his life by his Spirit and changes you and converts you and transforms your life, and you know it, and you know that the Lord knows it, and your sins are forgiven, but you never, ever, ever tell anyone? How would the gospel spread? If there was no preaching, if there was no witnessing, not just preaching, how would the gospel spread in society? How would the name of Christ be known? Friend, in the day that we live in, if we're just going to wait, it's only within church walls that the name of Christ is known. That's a sad day, and that's the reality of it. And I believe that today, particularly in our lifetimes, that the need today is greater than ever to speak up and to show out there in the street, to show in your neighborhood, to show in your workplace whose you are and whom you seek to serve. It's not a time to deny. And sometimes our denials are just our silences, and our silences are denials. When we do not say, when we do not speak, when we do not tell others, well, you might be saying, I know I'm a Christian. I'm not very strong. I know I'm a changed person, but I don't want really to ram this down anybody else's throat. It's up to them if they come or not. My friend, how did you hear the gospel? If nobody had spoken to you, or you had never heard about anything, you don't want to give a wrong impression. What wrong impression? What impression are we giving when we don't speak out? I can tell you what we're doing, friends. We are saying really, well, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed of being seen as a disciple of the Lord. I'm ashamed to tell about others what he has done for me. Dear friends, if you know your life has been changed, if you know that your whole desires are different, if you know that for yourself, if you have come to know what your sin deserves, and what Christ suffered for you, if you now see Christ as your Savior, having taken the punishment for your sins, oh, why, my dear friend, would you deny that? Why wouldn't you go out and tell others, as we sang there, come here, I'll tell what he did for my soul. That's how we should be. That's the kind of witness that should be ours. It is not something to hide, surely. Well, one time I will, you'll see, when I have opportunity. I remember an old pastor, one day speaking about opportunities. And somebody was saying, well, I try and find an opportunity arises, then I will speak. But he says, no, there's always opportunities. Always opportunities. Wherever you are, you make the opportunity. It's not waiting for somebody else. Haven't we got the greatest news in the whole world to tell? That Christ came into the world to save sinners. That he saved sinners. That he saved you. That he saved me. Isn't that something worth telling? And to tell people he can save you, he's willing to save if you come to him in repentance and seek his face. That's the greatest of news, friends. We should tell that to all who will come. Friends, we need to speak up. We need to live and to be seen, of course. And to ask yourself, am I denying the Lord? Am I? Can I ask you this? When was the last time you spoke to someone about their need to be saved? Be honest with yourself. When was the last time you challenged somebody with a gospel message? In your workplace, at school, your neighbors, your family, wider circle of family. When was the last time you didn't deny by your silence, but spoke with them? Though I know there's ways and means of doing it. But surely, surely, friends, that should be true of us. That we should be challenging. That we have a story to tell. And if we are true disciples, surely we ought to. Now I know, friends, that sadly, some people have a label of Christianity, and there's nothing more than a label of Christianity with them. And they pick it up and use it when it suits themselves. Oh, that God would keep us from that. You know that that's not how you ought to live, just to be a Sunday Christian. You need to be a Christian every day, every moment of every day, to show in your life. Yes, I know that we all have to do, and you particularly, friends, more than some of us ministers, are out in the world at times, and you have to be in the world, and you have to do your work. And you cannot be, as it were, with a Bible in one hand and doing the job, whatever you're doing, maybe some important work, whatever it is. But overall, there should be. Everything we touch should be touched with Christ. That it will be seen in whatever we do and whatever we say. Do you not know that yourself today? Oh, so often, and the Bible speaks of halting between two opinions. Well, that can happen as well, I believe, even in our lives if we are professing as Christians. We need to witness. Remember the words of the Lord, he that is not with me is against me. So when you are asked the question, friend, again, art now also one of his disciples, how are you going to answer? Are you going to answer clearly? Or are you going to be like Peter, dare to be a Daniel, I'm going to say, dare to be a Daniel and not a Peter in this situation. Be a clear witness, friends, then. Whatever your situation, be a clear witness for the Lord. Speak of him, show in your life that you are the Lord's. Well, then secondly, where then is your actual problem? Where does your actual problem lie? Well, some people are very clear and are able to say to everyone very positively, yes, I believe I'm a Christian. I believe I am a disciple of the Lord, and able to articulate that and to tell others clearly. Now, others may find it difficult to articulate in a way that maybe they would want to. But friends, it doesn't have, we don't have to be theologians, great theologians, to be able to tell what he has done for ourselves and to witness in that way as we go on in life. Well, you may be saying, I agree with what you're saying. My life has changed. Christ has transformed my life. I do love the Lord's people. I love going to the house of God under the word and all these things. But what? Is it like Peter? The fear of man? That's exactly what was wrong with him here. It was the fear of man. What they would do to him. What would happen. He was afraid at this time. He was afraid, no doubt, for his life. But that's not a reason for us, friends, at least so far in the day that we live in. I'm not saying you won't face opposition if you witness. Of course you will. We're not saying you won't have difficulties. You certainly will. And some people may make your life very difficult, maybe at work. And yes, friends, even within your own family circle. But it doesn't mean, therefore, I must not say anything. I must keep quiet. What will people think of me? Here Peter was showing a lack of faith. And that's what we do when we are like that. Friends, how Peter needs to remember as we must remember as well. Fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. It doesn't matter what they do to you. It is for you to witness of what he has done for you. Let's not forget the promises in the word of God to be with his people. Remember the Lord's promise to Joshua. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And you'll find he will not. And you know what as well? The more often we do it and the sooner we do it, the better it is. You know yourself sometimes, maybe you think, oh, I should have said something there. And you leave a person's company and you miss the opportunity. That's your fault, not theirs. That's not theirs. We have to take as we can every opportunity that the Lord has given to us. Now, of course, I'm not saying, well, I'm a churchgoer and that's all that matters. But I am not a believer. And if you're not a believer, then you should not claim to be on the Lord's side, whatever people think of you. Even if you do come to God's house, and we thank God that you do on a regular basis, you read your Bible, you even pray, you keep the Sabbath day. But if you are, as Peter was here, a follower, but overtaken by the fear of man, don't follow Peter's example in this situation. These words, remember, in Luke's Gospel, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And what was he weeping about? He had let the Lord down. He hadn't witnessed. He had denied his Lord. What was happening? He was convicted of his own sin of not being a good witness on the Lord's side. My dear friend here, you think about that today in your own life. How often it is, as it were, if I can put it this way, that the Lord is looking down from heaven and he's seeing you with some prayer and you haven't said a word for him. And the opportunity was there and you kept silence and you didn't tell them, you didn't speak to them. Thankfully, of course, there is mercy and forgiveness. And Peter here, as the Lord looked at him with that look, surely it was a look of love and mercy as well in it. And he does forgive us. But dear friends, it is not necessary then a reason for it doesn't matter what I do, I'm forgiven anyway. Surely that is not how it should be. Yes, Peter was brought to repentance and he wept bitterly. And we know soon afterwards he was never again ashamed to own his Lord. He was ready, now said, to nail his colours to the mast very soon afterwards. And the sooner, friends, I said, the sooner we witness and the oftener we witness, the easier it gets. I remember in my congregation in Skye, and we started doing open-air preaching down in the middle of the town. And a couple of the old elders and others came along, and they were never done it before in their lives. Good, good men. One of them particularly, he was in his 80s. And oh, he wasn't sure he would ever do it. And able to just speak to somebody, not to preach, just to speak and to give tracts and to challenge people. A lot of visitors in that place. In the summertime it was. And after a while, after 2 or 3 weeks, we couldn't keep him back. He was always asking, when are we going again? When are we going again? He couldn't believe himself, he said, how once he started, how he was able to do it and to continue to do it. My friend, that is the reality. We will never do it if we just sit back and wait. But if we do it, you will know what? The Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you in doing it. I'm not saying you're going to see conversions. Maybe you will. But the Lord will bless you for your faithfulness. And this is what we see here. Peter was not faithful at this time. He had a hidden love for the Lord. But here he was when the Lord Jesus was treated in the way that when he was dying for him. This wasn't the time to hide his love for the Lord. My dear friends, in the day that we live in, it's not a day to hide our love for the Lord. But it's not just words, but action as well is required in our day-to-day living. Yes, we have others like Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus, secret disciples. But eventually, what they believed came out. It was evident where they stood. And made their allegiance known to all. My friend, forget to be a real, true disciple of Christ. Forget the idea, I'll just keep my head down, I'll let others do the witness, and I'll let others preach, I'll let others show their Christians, I'll get to heaven eventually because I believe in Jesus anyway. Do you really? Will you really? Where is the proof in your life? Here's part of the proof, surely, to tell others of what he has done for our souls. Friends, you need to be aware of it. Are you troubled by your own silence? I can tell you honestly before you how often I am ashamed at times of my own silence when I ought to speak. Is it lack of courage on our side to stand on the Lord's side? Are you ashamed of what? I hope you are. I hope you are and you repent of it. If you love the Lord, if he is everything to you as you say, and that's what you're saying, if you say you love him, he is everything to me. Well, show it. Show it out there on the street. Show it out there by giving a tract. Show it out there by speaking to others, just a word in season. As I said, it doesn't mean that you have to go head on, as it were, into telling them they're heading for hell. That might be necessary at times. But show them the love of Christ as well. And be encouraged in this as well, friend. If you are saying tonight here, today here, I love the Lord. If you even have the slightest love for Christ in your heart, it's only because he has first loved you. And I don't want to discourage anyone here today. If you know you love the Lord with all your failings, it's only because he has loved you. If he has loved you, he has died for you. And if he has died for you, it means he has taken you undeserved as you are. And that you will be with him in glory one day. Oh, I believe that, you say. That's where my hope lies. I am not a good Christian in that I'm not a good witness. But I believe I'll be with him one day. Well, if you believe that, surely, surely that you should take at least a word occasionally for the Lord. Why do we deny him? By hiding away at times. Why do we deny him? By our silence and not speaking up for him. Let me ask you this then, friends, in conclusion. If being an open Christian becomes illegal in Australia, not allowed to be an open Christian, and you were charged in court of the land with being a Christian, would you be declared innocent of the charge, or would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a believer? I say that to you again. If being a Christian became illegal, an open Christian, outwardly showing your Christianity here in Australia, and you were taken to court, would the charge be no, he's not a Christian, no evidence? Or would there be evidence and you'd be convicted of being a Christian? Where is the evidence, dear friends? This text, art not thou also one of his disciples? Some have translated literally, it can be seen as, you surely are not one of his disciples, are you? In other words, if you were, surely you'd be speaking up for Christ. Surely you would be on his side. What about yourself and myself today, friends? What is said about us? My friends, if you are, say it loudly and clearly. Show it in your life. Of course, if you're here today, sadly, and you're not a Christian, then, my dear friend, you are lost, and seek him today while you still have opportunity before it's too late for you. It's a fearful thought, is it not, friends? Christian friend here today. It's a fearful thought that there may be some who we are close to, and the day of judgment comes and they haven't believed and they die without Christ. And they'll say, you never told me. You never witnessed for me. Why did you not plead with me, and maybe within our own family circles? Why, if you believe it, and I know it now, I know I'm making an illustration here of the judgment day. Why did you not tell me, Dad? Why did you not tell me, Mom? Why did you not tell me? Why? If you believed it so strongly, and you did, but why were you quiet? Why did you not tell me about the situation? My friend, the reality is, if we are not true Christians, whatever we may profess, and it's not, as I've said time and time again, it's not about sitting at the Lord's table that makes us Christians. But if we are not true Christians, the day will come you are denying him. The day will come when he will deny you and he will say, I never knew you, depart from me. And as you are saying, no, I'm not a Christian, he will one day say, no, he is not one of mine, she is not one of mine. What a fearful thought when you have opportunity, friend, to come to faith in Christ, but also Christian. Let us use the opportunity we have to tell others of the wonder of the salvation of Christ, willing to save to the uttermost. Doesn't matter what our past sins are. Doesn't matter. It can be washed in the blood of Christ, forgiven in the blood of Christ. My dear friend, if you know that, don't dare be silent. But speak up and show in your life what he has done for you. Not to your own glory, not unto us, Lord, not to us, but do thou glory take unto thyself. To him be all the praise and the glory. Amen. Let us pray. O blessed Lord, we ask forgiveness for our coldness and our lack of seal, that we would seek to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would show forth the wonder of his grace and mercy toward us, and his willingness to save to the uttermost. Wilt thou then, gracious God, by thy Spirit, quicken us anew, so that we would not be dumb like dumb dogs, but rather that we would speak up, for we have much surely to tell if we have come to know Christ as our Saviour. In his name we pray it. Amen.